Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. All the rules.
That's what I'm gonna be doing every single night.
Which is why.
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
I had to hit
the on button. I'm a short timer.
Hello. You are.
That had a frog in my throat right as we started there.
See, I told you it happens. That's why you always have to clear your throat before you go on the air.
Yep.
Like a radio professional.
Yep.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
You're a short timer. You're going to Iceland.
I am.
God, that's exciting. You're leaving tomorrow? Sunday.
Sunday.
God. So jealous.
I am rather excited.
Don't be jealous of my trip. I'll be on a trip while you're gone.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't be jealous, okay? I'm about to tell you where it is. Mm-hmm. While you're in Iceland.
Burbank.
Burbank. No, the Dirt and Sprague show is going to cover the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're doing the
Pac-12
Media.
That's on Tuesday.
Live from Burbank, California.
Thank God we got out of that.
Bakersfield.
No, but close. I'm going to the Milan of the Midwest. Lawrence, Kansas. I will be in Lawrence, Kansas while you are in Iceland for some of it.
You're gonna go
so
down,
don't be jealous.
Are you down there trying to negotiate some sort of landing spot for the Jayhawks? Are they calling in the closer?
They
You're
called
out,
me in.
Thursday next week, you said, right?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. But, you know, yeah, they're calling me in.
Yeah.
They need the big guns.
They need something.
To negotiate a new home.
Kansas has a little bit of a pucker factor right now.
I've got several text threads going with some of my KU buddies, and there is a major pucker factor.
It's funny because all the BYU people think that this is their one opportunity now to maybe get into one of the
it
powers.
Kind of is. You like know? If I'm a BYU fan, well, it can't get any worse.
It can't.
So it's like you, at least you have an opening.
It's just funny because Kansas.
Whereas if you're Kansas, you're like, oh, no.
And BYU's like, please, someone take us. Anybody. We'll take whatever you got.
Well.
What do you, I'm assuming something with meat down in.
Well, I'm just going to go visit our son.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents.
Well, that's what I said.
The olds.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the olds.
That's not Lawrence, though. That's Salina.
I know, but they're going to meet us up there.
Oh.
We're not going to Salina.
Okay.
The All-American city of Salina.
Yeah.
But we will be in Lawrence. And you will be in Iceland. One of these things is not like the other.
Well, I'm sure both have great landscapes and many photographic destinations, if you will.
I had some friends leave for Italy this morning.
And you're going to Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you. I think that will be a great trip.
I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know how many more of these, you know, you get with everybody because you know, everyone's splintered now.
Your kids.
Yeah.
They hate you.
Clearly. But, you know, my daughter's, you know, a couple years out of school now and is working, and my son's going to school, getting ready to go to college. And so I don't know how many more of the.
You're down to one in the house.
Yeah, we got one in the. Well, in another month, we'll have one in the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been doing this, for about 10-ish years now.
Big trips.
Where we've taken at least one good-sized trip. And I keep telling everyone, enjoy these, because eventually we're going to reach the point where, you can't coordinate everyone's schedule, and these are going to end. Hopefully they don't, but I'm trying to enjoy every last.
Well, it's all you can do.
Every last one of these.
It's all you can do, JC Babes. Enjoy it.
And I've never taken one like this before, where we're just kind of in a van and we're just going to drive around.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I've never had one of these.
Remember,
before.
Don't just poop wherever you want.
No, you can't.
Remember that. Yeah, the locals hate that.
Yeah, take it with you.
Because there aren't a lot of bathrooms.
No.
But wait. Well, first of all, on your commentary there, nothing like. If you were given the opportunity, nothing like the great travel memories of childhood.
Yes.
There's nothing like them.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to get a few of those. Not really anywhere overseas, mm-hmm. per se, but just, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's good times. It's good stuff.
Well, and I set out specifically, because we did a little bit of this, like I said, about 10 years ago. And we did Hawaii and we did Canada a little bit. But, not to like bring it down, but when my wife passed away... I know. I had like this, I don't know. I don't know what you call it. Just, I had this thought that.
Thought.
Yeah.
First time for everything.
An epiphany, if you will. I don't know.
I think it's an epiphany. Yeah.
I had one of these just kind of things that I couldn't get out of my head, and I did not want my kids' childhood that to be the only thing they thought of.
Right.
Give
them some good memories.
Yeah, and I know that is...
Well, they have good memories of their mom.
Yeah, but, especially the younger two, we're...
Yeah.
I just didn't want that to be the only thing they thought of. And so when starting that year, I just said, we are going to go do some stuff. And you're never going to be able to replace that. And you're never going to be able to get her back. And that will always be with you. But I just said, I don't care, maybe I have to work a little bit longer. I don't put as much into retirement. I just said, this will not be the only memory that my kids have. They will do some stuff that will, when they think back on their childhood, there will be happy times, not just before, but after. And that has been kind of my mission. And hopefully, I've succeeded at that. We'll see. I mean, we'll find out once they get a little bit older. And, they look back on it, but that is something that I really set out to do. And maybe I spend a little too much money and a little too many resources, but
yeah, you'll never remember the money.
Exactly. Like, this is going to be one of those things that hopefully 20, 25 or 30 years now, maybe I'm, in the ground, they look back and those are the things they think of and not just the
well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. So, hey, have fun. Okay.
See what we can do.
What are you going to do over there?
We got 2 days in Reykjavik when we land. And so we'll see what that city has to offer. We'll do the Penis Museum. There's the big
Frank.
Frank. There's the Blue Lagoon, which is like the big, most famous like hot spring there. So we're doing that. There's a couple other things around the city that we've got lined up. There's a big Lebowski bar that I'm going to go visit with 23 different forms of White Russians. I'm going to go check that out.
What?
So there's a big Lebowski bar. Remember,
do they really have 23 White Russians?
Yeah, 23 different White Russians.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I don't know if I can sample them all in 2 days, but damn it, I'm going to give it the old college try.
Are they all as bad as a White Russian?
I love me some White Russians. It's just different stuff like that, little touristy stuff for like 2 days in the city. And then we're piling into the van, and it's go time. Then we've got, 10 straight days, and it's a different place every day. We're not staying in the same place 2 days. So we're just driving the they call it the Ring Road, and it's around the entire country. So we got we're gonna go see the live active volcano. There is I got a midnight round of golf.
Cool.
That I'm gonna play. That tees off at like 11:35 at night. Got 9 holes at the base of a volcano. There's a whale watching tour that we're gonna hit. You can do some ice scuba diving where you throw on the snorkeling. But it's like it's in the northern part, and they suit you up, and you go out and you snorkel in the I guess that would be the North Atlantic. So I don't know. We're gonna do some stuff like that, and then just some hikes, and see what happens.
All right, that's great.
It's kind of one of those like as you drive. Hopefully, we just get into some stuff. Knowing me, every time I kind of cruise around, stuff just kind of happens. So we'll see. People are always like, well, you're making that up. No, no, I'm not. Those things just tend to happen to me. So when we travel, I kind of leave it a little open-ended and see which way the wind blows.
Wait, so Oren,
yeah,
your youngest daughter,
yes,
is going into what grade?
She'll be a junior.
You will be 2 years, 2.5 years, not even, not 2.5, you'll be 2 years-ish from being an empty nester.
Yes.
Do you ever think about that?
I do.
That's amazing. I
think about it all the time.
What are you going to do? Are you going to go to Iceland?
No, we're doing that already.
You should get married.
I'm not going to do it. Don't do that. I've already got enough of that coming down.
Oh, the pressure's on.
Oh,
huh?
Gosh.
Oh, yeah. He's getting married.
Oh,
yes. He is.
There's a lot of that.
I'm going to try to get her to propose to you.
Yeah, don't.
But
don't.
I never see her. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not invited to anything. Just keep you away. No, I don't know. I don't think anything will change. My kids are all pretty independent. I'm not in a stunning development, I'm not a helicopter parent. So my kids just do their own thing anyways. Like, they don't ask. They just go off.
Yeah, but it's different. I'm telling you, it's different.
Yeah.
Because
it'll probably be more nudity. And
You don't have to think about it.
That's right. Here's the thing. When they go off to college, you think, oh, they're really kind of doing their own thing anyway.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how much of your life is wrapped up in their life until they're gone. And it shuts off that second.
Yeah.
And you don't hear from him. I mean, maybe you'll keep better in touch with your kids. My kid ran off and it's like, I can't get a hold of him.
Yeah.
Which was good.
Yeah. That's what you want.
Yeah. I want him to go and figure it out and have fun and don't worry about us.
Yeah.
But it is really, it really changes. You don't think it's that big of a change, but it is.
Well, I'm going to be poor.
And it's
so
amazing.
I'm probably not going to do anything because I'll have two kids right in the middle of college. So
yeah, exactly. That's the other part.
Well, isn't Lily or Oren, isn't she going to get a scholarship?
I certainly hope so. I'm
cracking that whip.
Well, she's a little genius.
She wants to go to like Stanford and or Boston, like
yes,
Boston University.
Good for her.
No, not good for her.
Yes, good for her.
Scholarship.
Listen, two things need to happen.
Scholarship.
She needs to go to Stanford and your girlfriend needs to propose to you. And I am going to see to it that both of those things happen.
You know, at that point,
so you can't even afford a wedding.
Then I just disappear at that point. And there's a car accident and my body's never found. And I start a new life south of the border.
Yeah. Empty nest is great. We've already got some texts coming in from our empty nesters out there. Like this guy says he was terrified of being an empty nester. And a lot of people are they're very wrapped up in their kids and their kids' lives. But it's fantastic.
Dude, so,
and I'm telling you this, too. Here's another thing.
Yeah.
My wife and I's relationship got better. Some people's
It gets worse.
Get worse, I think, because they have to spend so much time together and they're not distracted by the kids.
And the only reason you're together in the first place is
the kids.
The kids, you know.
My wife and I have been great since the empty nest.
Well,
and it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It makes you wonder why you ever had kids.
Well, you didn't.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
I know. So we just did.
You know what's funny? I never thought about it. I'm kind of pulling an Isaac Ropp right now.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I didn't have my own kids.
You're getting a little havesies.
And now I'm getting havesies, yeah.
Yeah, but then
it's the best of both worlds.
But then you start over again because you'll have a little Mike Lynch.
Yeah, you will.
I don't think we will.
Yes, you will.
I don't think we will.
We'll see about that.
God, now I want three things.
We'll see about that.
It would be very difficult to get that to happen.
Oh, he's hinting at some ED issues.
ED. Mike, you know, we've got ads like running constantly on the station.
There's pills for that.
I think there's like a shockwave treatment now that where's Dr. Arkaki? Let's get you an endorsement.
Talking to your doctor about your poop?
Yeah, this is Mike
Talking
Lynch.
To your doctor about your poop?
Do you have boner problems like me? Dr. Arkaki will take care of it.
Dick poop.
Yeah, it writes itself. When when I went up to orientation for my son at Central, boy, I couldn't believe it. We spent an hour. So like the first thing, they spent like an hour and they took it into the room and it was everybody. And it was like, okay, this is, you know, just kind of what to expect. And then they took the kids off to do something else and they kept the parents in the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's going on here? We spent an hour dealing with the emotional trauma of sending your kid off to school. I wanted to hit myself with a hammer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't cover any of that with us at Kansas.
There was like the five stages of whatever. Oh, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
Little therapy session?
Yeah. I lasted about 15 minutes and I was like, yeah, I'll see you guys at the
bar. I'm
going
to go stroll around.
Yeah, we're going to be good here. And I didn't want to be rude. I was trying to wait for like an appropriate time to get up. But at some point I was like, yep, I'm done. I'm like, we're not doing this. It was like, honestly, it broke me because they were talking about like, what am I going to do when I realize that I no longer have control over my kids' lives? I'm like, what? Huh? And it was like, how do I make sure they hold on to my values while they develop their own? I was like, yeah, we're.
Is that a pretty.
I don't know. Man.
Is it a pretty religious school?
No, not religious at all. But like they were.
That sounds religion-y.
Yeah, they were going through this thing and they went around because there was only like 30 of us in there. And so they were asking, like, what value do you want to make sure your kid, like, holds on to? And it got to me, and I said, I don't know. I'm like, it's his values, not mine. How about he's his own person? He can do what he wants. And then I was like, I'm good. And
how about the value of partying?
Yeah, I don't know.
I taught him everything I know, and now it's time to wean him off the teat.
Have fun.
I hope he does great here.
Yeah. And at that point, I think it was best for everyone if I just left. They didn't want me there. I didn't want to be there. And then I just went and wandered the campus. But apparently that's a thing now, is that we have to emotionally prepare parents for kids off to college.
Central Washington. Where is that?
Ellensburg.
Ellensburg, Washington. Okay.
Head down.
Nice place.
Head to the Dalles.
Yeah.
And then
go north.
And then go north.
Do I get to go through Walla Walla and stop at Wine Valley and play golf?
You get to go through Yakima.
Ugh.
That's the only place you go through.
You don't go that far east, huh?
No. Up through Yakima. Mm. So it's a little town kind of in the middle of nowhere. They call it like a smaller version of Pullman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Little Pullman.
Will it snow there?
Yes. Quite again, just Pullman. Very hot in the summer, snowy in the winters.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
So he's leaving in a month.
Leaving in a month. So Iceland, come back, and then, hey, knock yourself out, man. I'm trying to get him to where I don't have to drive him up there.
Yeah, give him a car.
Well, he has one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what do you, get out of the way.
I took him to orientation, and so now I'm like, I did one of these. Hey, man, if you don't want me to go, I'm fine. I keep trying to, like, lean that way. It's like, I don't want to make that drive again, so.
Just send him on his way.
That's pretty
with
much
a couple hundred bucks.
Exactly.
Do you, does he have friends going with him, or does he know anyone there?
He's got one of his, I guess it is his best friend from high school. They're going to go together, and they're going to room together.
Oh, okay.
And all that. And then we know a couple people that have some kids up there that are a little bit older, so there's some semblance of that. But, yeah, he's going up with a buddy of his, and they'll be fine.
All right. We're getting old.
And he's rebranded himself.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Threw me for a loop.
Word got back to me about that.
Yeah, he's doing a total rebrand. He's pulling a Cleveland Guardians.
And that's smart.
Yeah.
It's a smart play. It's a good, clean break to do so.
Yeah, so his name is Iserman, but he's always gone by James. He's never liked the Iserman thing.
Well, what is his full name?
Iserman James Sakanik.
Okay.
But he doesn't like it. He goes by James. He was a really shy kid growing up. And he wanted to be James. He did not, like, because Iserman is Y-Z-E-R. So everyone said Yaz, or, you know, no one knew how to pronounce. He hated it. So from when he was like 4 or 5 years old, he's like, nope, I'm James. And I used to call him like Tiny Y. And he, same thing in front of friends. He's like, nope, James. No one else has ever called him Iserman. Just me. And I haven't called him that in years because he just said I wanted to be James. So it was fine. And so we're up there and we're checking in at the orientation thing. And the lady says, last name, says Sakanik. He spells it out. She goes to hand him his little badge and it says Iserman. And I went, oh, I was like, they screwed that up. And I said, that should be James. And he's like, no. And I said, what? I said, what are you doing? He goes, that's my name. I said, you're not just going to, you just drop this on me? He goes, yeah. I'm like, so you're going Iserman? He goes, yeah, it's a kick-ass name, and it's my name. I was like, what are you, rebranding?
Yeah.
He's rebranding
himself.
Were
you proud of that?
Yeah.
I think it probably has to do with he's going to college, and nobody knows him there.
New bits.
Yeah.
So he can go with that name, and it's not weird.
I think he thinks he's going to pull more Tud that way.
I guess.
And he probably will.
Probably.
James.
Yeah.
Iserman.
Stand that a little bit.
That'll keep them around for another drink.
And it's weird because my daughter...
It'll take them that long to spell it in their phone.
My daughter also rebranded herself, but she did it like in the fourth grade. Because her name is Oren, but her middle name is Lily, and everyone always called her Lily. The Iserman thing, everyone called him James, everyone just called her Lily. And then one day I went in for a parent-teacher conference like in the fourth grade and said, hey, I'm here, I'm, you know, Jason Sakanik. And she said, oh, your daughter Oren. And I went, who? And she goes, Oren. And I was like, huh? What? Lily? I had no idea. The entire year she had been going by Oren. She just decided when she was like in the fourth or fifth grade, rebrand, changing it up, going by Oren.
What's your middle name?
Steven.
And I'm Everett.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just rebrand.
A total rebrand.
Start the show anew.
Well, I gave
with Everett Ropp and Steve Sook.
Steve Sook. I gave my kids each a unique first name and then a normal middle name and figured they could just choose. Right? You want to be normal, you can go Lily, you can go James. And if you want something normal, a little more exotic, go for it. So there you go.
Both
my kids rebranded.
All right. There's a little Sook life segment right there for you guys. Good times. Going to Iceland. Badass. Let's see, what do we got? We've got Mike and I on Monday. We'll call that show Mike and Ike's.
Yeah, the Mike and Ike. I like it.
Tuesday, John is your brother. Yeah. Will be here for you.
The bigger Sook.
And I have two games prepared for him. Mm. Not one, two.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're a real go-getter.
I think that, well, he's the one that suggested.
Well, the rest of the show is going to be taped interviews from Pac-12 Media Day.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Layup.
He suggested obscure 80s movie soundtrack songs.
That's right up his alley.
Yeah, it is. And so I put that together for him.
Yeah, he's going to dominate that. I mean, that is.
You think so?
That is in his wheelhouse.
Okay. We'll see about that.
Okay. Dude, I think you're gonna lob that up and he's going to slam that sucker down.
Well, I hope he does. Because if he doesn't win, he gets the guillotine.
Well, he should.
So he needs to focus.
He's never allowed on the show again, even though he doesn't really work here.
And then Wednesday will be Mike and I, and then I got to head out to the Milan of the Midwest to see about Kansas hooking up in the Big Ten.
Good luck with that, man.
Thanks.
You know, I know there's going to be some high-level negotiations.
So there's your immediate future, and then you're back in a couple of weeks.
I'll be back on Friday following week.
Well, isn't that a treat?
Yeah.
One day work week. All right. Well.
And save a vacation day. Very smart.
Bingo. Very smart. Okay. So Texas and Oklahoma are leaving.
Yeah.
They are going to the SEC.
Possibly very, very soon.
Very soon. Yes. So now what? Let's get to that. It's the subject of our poll question. We'll start there on the Fan.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sook on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. As always, 1080thefan.com brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today we are asking you, should Oregon consider a move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten in football? Yes, no, or sports?
Go Ducks.
So vote hard. Don't know that that's a possibility, but It's an interesting thought, I guess.
Look, at this point, if you're not exploring options, if you're a power brand, Washington, SC, Oregon, if you're not exploring your options or keeping them open, then shame on you, because no one's in this for anything other than themselves at this point, right? It's all hands on deck. This is just a giant cash grab. Nothing matters but money anymore. It's not about prestige. It's not about getting to the college football playoff. This is about dollars and cents. And so with such an uncertain future now, with seemingly the death of the Big 12 coming here, you keep your options open. I don't think it makes sense, but if the Big 12 called you, or you called them.
You mean the Big Ten.
The Big Ten, yeah, excuse me.
The Big 12 may call you.
Exactly,
but
I think you should listen to that too. You should listen to all options. You know, the people that stay mobile and the people that stay flexible, we said this about COVID, will be the ones that survive this.
So vote hard. We will talk to Joey Harrington about this coming up at 5:30. He's back this week. But up next, ESPN's Adam Rittenberg is going to join us, and he is covering this.
We can discuss this with him.
Yeah, Texas and Oklahoma. What if we just talk about Giannis with him? Would that throw him off?
Oh, yeah. Start asking him NBA Finals or Olympics questions? Yeah. What about this Simone Biles gal?
Do you think Giannis drinks, Adam? I don't think he drinks. Anyway, that's later. Adam Rittenberg is next. ESPN, Texas and Oklahoma are headed to the SEC. That is the report. They will inform the Big 12 that they want to leave and apply to the SEC on Monday. And it could happen very fast. So what the hell's going on here? A lot of, there are so many offshoots of this topic.
Because it's not just going to be this. There will be dominoes that fall.
All over the place. So Adam Rittenberg, ESPN's been covering it, and he will join us next to talk about what's next for the Pac-12. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 3:33. Shifting going on in college football again out of nowhere. Texas, Oklahoma, likely to the SEC. Adam Rittenberg covers college football for ESPN. He is a senior writer, and he joins us now to make sense of it all. Adam, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. What are Texas and Oklahoma doing here? Simply a money grab?
Yeah, I mean, that to me, it's a money and, I guess, in a sense, prestige grab to be part of, you know, the SEC, which, again, likes to act like it needs to be acknowledged as the greatest conference. It is, and I guess this just enhances that. But I'm really down on this. I understand, I guess, to a degree why it's happening from a financial perspective, but I really think this is heading down a poor road for the sport. And I like the Big 12. I like regional conferences. I like, you know, I just like that about the sport. And, you know, who knows where this is going to go after this first move, because it won't be the last one. We're going to see additional realignment happen, you know, whether it's the Big 12 trying to hang on and poaching the AAC, or the Big 10 or the Pac-12 or the AAC or the ACC doing something. So again, you know, I guess you're never surprised with Texas. Texas has triggered so much of this, and you know, you just knew at some point, I guess, that Texas was going to bring down the Big 12, and it just seems like we're days away from that possibility.
The two things that throw me on this is, one, they've been doing it for 6 months. This is the greatest clandestine operation of all time, and 6 months and no one heard wind of this. And then the other one is, Texas has the sixth best winning percentage in the Big 12 over the last 10 years. They're not good. And yet they're a big enough brand to basically upset the entire world of college football.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think the reason it was quiet is because it happened at the presidential level. That's what people need to understand. It wasn't like, you know, Steve Sarkisian was told about this when he took the Texas. I mean, maybe he was, but I'd imagine this was very much done with the board members and the presidents and a pretty small group of people at the very, very top of those universities, as well as obviously Greg Sankey and the SEC brass. So that's a big part of it. But, you know, Texas, I agree. I think they're going to have a very hard time having success in the SEC. I mean, if you're not competing regularly in a league where there's only one program that remotely has your level of history and success, now you're entering a league where there are multiple teams that are capable of not just winning the league, but winning the national championship. That's going to be very difficult for them. And again, money to me is not Texas' problem. Like, their problems are kind of things like this, the ego and the politics and always having to show we're Texas instead of, you know, Oklahoma to me is kind of the one here where I'm scratching my head, because Oklahoma's winning the Big 12 every year. They're going to the college football playoff, even at four teams, most years. They've upgraded their recruiting. They have a great head coach. I don't think they need the SEC. Maybe they figure they need it in 10 years, and that's why they're making the move now. Whereas Texas, you know, again, always had that wandering eye. But I think it's going to be tough for both teams. Wouldn't surprise me if they both turn into Auburn-type teams in the SEC, because Alabama's Alabama. You know, Georgia, very good program. Florida, LSU. I mean, these programs, A&M, these programs are not going to be easy to beat year in and year out.
This is ESPN's Adam Rittenberg. So can you give us an idea of, like, when Texas and Oklahoma move, how much more money does that mean for them?
Yeah, it's hard to say. There's obviously a lot of, you know, predictions. The SEC makes more money annually than the Big 12 does. And if you multiply that out, it could be $10 million more a year. In the future, it might be closer to $15 million more a year. And obviously that does matter. But the Big 12 had done okay revenue-wise, I thought, and it kind of held its ground. Texas does make a lot of money, and you know, they've both done major facilities renovations. They've both hired coaches and paid them a lot of money. Their staffs are pretty well compensated in both cases. But no, they will make more money, no doubt, going to the SEC. We'll see how the agreement is structured, whether they'll be, you know, getting full revenue shares right away, or whether they'll have to wait a little bit of time to get, you know, obviously those very high revenue shares that are, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC right now are a cut above everybody in terms of annual revenue, and that should just continue to go up. Obviously, if you add two members like this, Texas and Oklahoma, and, you know, same in the Big Ten, they're doing their new television deal in a couple of years, and you can imagine that their revenues will also go up.
Yeah, I saw that the Big Ten distributes about is like 55 mil, somewhere in there, 54 million. The new SEC deal was going to be more than that. So let's say 60 a team with ESPN. But is that does that contract get torn up, or do they renegotiate it? Because I'm assuming you add two more. That's just, you got to divide the pie two more ways, unless there's room to renegotiate with ESPN. Do we have any idea what is going on with that?
Well, I mean, that's certainly down the line. I mean, your Texas and Oklahoma still have to at least contractually, be in the Big 12 for a little while longer. We'll see if it's still a full four more seasons until their grant of rights expire, or if they're able to get out of that agreement earlier. I'd imagine they'll be able to get out of it a little bit earlier, but absolutely there'll be a renegotiation. This is a big reason why the SEC would want to do this. Why add Texas and OU if you're not able to then immediately get more revenue for your league and for your membership? So I'm sure that's a chief concern or a chief priority for the SEC to begin that process as soon as this happens.
So you look at this, let's say the SEC then renegotiates and maybe you're dealing with $70 million a team or $68 million and now name, image, and likeness and the restructuring. This just seems like college football Armageddon. I don't know where it lands, but it doesn't. And Mark Emmert saying that maybe it's time to let go of college football, at least at the Division I level. Do we have any idea when this all settles? Are we just dealing with professional football?
Well, it's, you know, I was talking with some of the Big Ten coaches in Indianapolis about this today, and you know, Ryan Day, the Ohio State coach, said, you know, changed so much. You know, maybe you wake up in 5 years, you don't even recognize what it is, and that could be the direction that we're heading. You know, I just got a text from a high-level college source saying that this is a terrible move for college athletics, egotistical, selfish, and the pain for so many schools will be irreversible. And so that's how a lot of people are reacting about this. You know, certainly Texas has its own point of view, and the SEC will be celebrating, and they love to celebrate and talk about how great they are, even though we know they're the best conference. That's not up for debate at this point. But I think there certainly is going to be a trickle-down effect to the rest of the sport.
Yeah, on that note, what do you think is best for the Pac-12? What do you think they do?
I think it'll be really interesting. You know, you got a new commissioner in George Kolapkov, you know, with a unique perspective coming in from outside. You know, he understands, he was very upfront, you know, when he was hired, that he needs to improve football and he needs to increase revenue. And so, you know, here you go, George, here's your opportunity, maybe earlier than you expected, to figure out a way to do that. And so, again, it's about studying, you know, who you can add and what value they would bring to the Pac-12, and then how they could bring value in terms of the next media rights agreement, which is, I'd imagine, be very different for the Pac-12 under George Kliavkov. So it's hard to say which schools. They could certainly make a push for, you know, what's left of the Big 12 if the Big 12 is in danger of falling apart. But I don't know if Oklahoma State and Kansas and Kansas State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, I don't know if that does much for the Pac-12. So I think the strategy here will be really interesting too. You know, and one thing the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the ACC all have in common, at least they say this, is that their presidents are not open to just any school. They want to be aligned philosophically, academically, and in other areas with whoever they would bring into the league. You saw George's quote today, my colleague Heather Dinich, about an extremely high bar to get into the Pac-12. So we'll see if that's truly the case. But I'm more interested in, honestly, the strategy behind whatever they do and where they think they can increase revenue. Because the SEC, you know, isn't a league that necessarily has to increase revenue. The Pac-12 has to. And that's why they're bringing in a new commissioner. That's why they're so focused on their football brand, which is in a weaker position, obviously, than the SEC's, which is, you know, now only going to get stronger.
Yeah, am I crazy to think that the new commissioner just sits down with TV execs here over the next 12 months and says, what do you like? Almost just like a bartering sort of thing. I'm going to lay this out on the table. I got 12 here. Do any of these do anything for you? Am I crazy to think it's something as simple as that, of which combination of this brings me the most money, and then at that point I do it? Because I want to believe the Pac-12 has some integrity to stick to their guns as far as the right fit, but boy, I'm pretty skeptical of it right now.
Well, yeah, I think George Kliavkov would have that responsibility to kind of do what you just said. But again, he's not the one making the decision to add schools. So he would then have to go to his presidents and chancellors and say, here's what I was told. Here's what we can get if we add this school and this school and this school. And then you see what the debate is at that point. And then certainly, you know, try to push what he thinks is the best path forward for the Pac-12. But that's why, again, you know, these are all presidential calls. These are not commissioner calls necessarily. I think the Pac-12, it's an interesting league because you have obviously some very prestigious academic institutions. You have a lot of public schools in the conference, a couple of private schools. There's not necessarily like one type of Pac-12 school. Maybe it gets a little more narrow in its league, like say the Big Ten. But I know those Pac-12 presidents and chancellors are very prideful of the league. And I don't know if they're just going to allow in anyone, even if there's a pretty big dollar sign attached to them.
Do you think Oregon should be open to the Big Ten if that were a possibility?
I think you have to look at all your options. I think, again, when talking to a Big Ten athletic director today, we could just be heading towards, instead of just like, a Super League SEC and a Super League Big Ten, they're just a group of teams that are playing at a certain level and investing in the sport at a certain level, and that will be a tier, a tier one of the Power Five or whatever you want to call it. And Oregon, I think, has shown that it belongs in that tier. So if they feel like they can do that in the Pac-12 and still compete and, can stay in the Pac-12, it would be very difficult to me to envision Oregon playing all of its sports in the Big Ten. I mean, it's just ridiculous if you think about it. If you're the Oregon softball team, you're going to play a softball game at Rutgers, or you're going to play a soccer game at Maryland. I mean, it's absurd, right? Like that's like we're talking about football here.
Yeah.
So I think there's separate decisions, football and every other sport.
The other one that I wanted to ask you about was BYU. Big fan base and kind of a unique school. Do you have any sense of what presidents feel about BYU? I know it's always been, sort of the religious school has been kind of a no-no in the past. They're not a research institution. Do you have any sense of what presidents feel about BYU on the West Coast?
Yeah, I think it'd be very tough because, we're in an era now where I think people are hypersensitive to, issues around social justice or around equity and inclusion. And BYU's history in those areas isn't particularly great, and I don't think it's particularly appealing to the Pac-12 presidents. And so I don't know if the desperation to add a program that certainly adds value, to your point, has a major fan base, has a recognizable brand name, does that overcome some of these maybe moral issues or cultural fit issues, which I don't know if BYU will ever be able to get around. I mean, they're not going to overhaul their honor code to join the Pac-12, or maybe they will, who knows. But I don't sense that, nor will I sense the Pac-12 just, pretending that these other issues don't exist or haven't existed with BYU, because from a purely financial perspective, BYU would be a smart addition for the Pac-12, no doubt.
Real quick, last one before we let you go. Does the Big 12 survive this, or is the Big 12 done?
Well, I think it depends on, what the remaining Big 12 members want to do. Without Texas and Oklahoma, it's going to be awfully hard for them to command anywhere near the revenue that they're getting right now, unless they have a really smart plan. They could decide to go, more Texas-centric and add programs like Houston and SMU. They could try to expand their footprint and it can go for, schools like UCF or Cincinnati, get into Florida. Even more so, get into they're not in Florida at all now, but get into the state of Ohio. They're obviously already in the state of West Virginia from the Big 12 perspective. So, this is a huge moment for them because it doesn't seem likely that you could survive without a Texas and an Oklahoma in your conference. It's going to have to take a lot of creativity and certainly a lot of unity in a league that, to be honest, has never shown much unity. I mean, Big 12 unity to me is an absolute joke. It's a league that was always just thrown together. Seems like it's a league where it's all, every school for itself. In covering the league like the Big Ten or even the SEC, there's a lot more unity among the schools that are in those leagues than there's or even the ACC than there's ever been in the Big 12.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. Good stuff. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. All right.
Damn, I told you the BYU thing isn't going to happen.
Yeah,
it's too I didn't even think about some
See,
of that.
He's right about that.
It's an ugly history there if you want to go back into it.
It is, but God, am I defending the Mormon Church?
You are.
Aren't they getting better?
I think so.
Don't they understand that?
Yeah.
But it's got to get better on those issues now. Okay, but here's my only thing about that. I just feel like this is all about money, and that's it.
Yes.
So all of these things that we bring up, like the BYU hurdle,
you know, Boise, or if you know,
right,
the research
institutions. I'm not certain that any of that is going to matter because there is so much money on the line now that it's put up or shut up. It, like he said, for the Pac-12, the SEC doesn't need to make more money. The Pac-12 does. And that's exactly the message the president sent by hiring this new commissioner, George Kliavkov, who is a Vegas casino guy.
But I just, the thing that scares me is that he said right there, this is not an AD thing. This isn't a commissioner thing. This is a university president thing. And there is,
well, again, but they're no the one, ones that hired Kliavkov.
True, but there is no one outside of the Ivy League that has a stick further up their arse than the Pac-12 presidents and what they think about their academic institutions. And like I said, this will be the ultimate litmus test because everything right now in college football has been given the bird to the almighty dollar. And is the Pac-12 going to have the balls, or you could say the stupidity, whatever, you know, you way you want to look at it, are they going to be the one that says, no, we are not going to compromise our values? I tend to think no, but again, those are some very, very prideful presidents who we've always heard from people inside the world of college football that they view themselves differently. They do view themselves as the Ivy League of the West.
Well, that's what Kliavkov said.
Yeah.
He released a little
statement
thing today, and he said, we view us as an exclusive club that is very, paraphrasing, exclusive club that's very hard to get into.
Yeah.
So on that note, it leads you to believe they don't need to expand. But he also said they will listen if schools call. I just think eventually their Pac-12 is going to have to keep up.
You have to.
This is their chance to catch up or at least keep up. And I think ultimately money wins out, even at the presidential level.
If the FCC, the SEC, if this goes through in a couple of years, when this becomes a full meal deal, there is some talk, people throwing around numbers here that I've read today, where they think a renegotiation could be in the realm of $70 million plus per team.
Yeah.
$70, $75 million. Well, that, by the way, is a very, very healthy athletic budget for most Power 5 schools, and that's just off your Tier 1 TV rights.
For 1 year?
For 1 year.
Well, isn't Texas and Oklahoma, aren't they going to have to pay like $75 million just to move?
Well, we don't know. So the Texas and Oklahoma, we can talk about it when we come back, but Texas and Oklahoma, if they announce the move, it's just their intention that when the contracts are up,
2025,
then they'll move. Now, if they do that, then starts the negotiation of how much is it going to cost us to get out sooner.
Or the Big 12 just folds.
Yes.
And they can move sooner.
So we'll see.
All right. We'll wrap this up next. 3:52 on the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, thanks to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. More on this with Joey Harrington. See what he thinks the Pac-12 should do coming up at 5:30. But Texas, Oklahoma likely headed to the SEC. What happens next is anyone's guess.
And by the way, that could be announced in a matter of days.
Yeah.
Now, some clarity there. They can announce their intention to leave. That does not mean they're in the SEC. They have to wait, in theory, for their TV contract to run out, which is...
Well, the SEC has to vote them in, too.
Yeah, the SEC has to vote them in.
But it sounds like that's even unanimous. Even with Texas A&M, they're saying that A&M's going to begrudgingly vote them in, and it's going
to
be unanimous.
Everyone else is going to tell Texas A&M to cram it.
They did this. Texas did this behind A&M's, like, was talking to the SEC for 6 months without Texas A&M knowing that.
And I guess other people knew it in the conference, but not Texas A&M. They were asked, you know, is it safe to say that Texas A&M was kept in the dark? And the response was, well, yeah.
Of course.
Because they knew Texas A&M would be the one school that would freak out about it. So that honestly is the most impressive thing, that you could have these high-level sort of negotiations with hundreds of millions of dollars on the line, and it didn't leak until Texas A&M got wind of it, and then they're the ones that leaked it in hopes that it would blow it up, and everyone was like, oh, that's adorable. Oh, that's so cute, A&M. No.
Well, I think it's awesome that Texas A&M is back on.
Yeah.
Because that is going to be some bad blood, man.
Yes. Well, the whole reason Texas A&M left is they were trying to escape the shadow of Texas and do their own thing, and now they're back in the shadow of Texas. Although,
like, Texas sucks.
I saw this. Texas has more losses to Kansas over the last 10 years than they do top 10 seasons.
Preach, bitch.
They have the sixth best winning percentage in a very, very average league.
They sucked in the Big 12. Why are they going to be good in the SEC?
They're not.
Dude, they're full of themselves. Now, somebody asked, they were asking us on the text line, I don't get Oklahoma. They go to the playoff every year and win their conference. I'm guessing what happened there was Texas called and said, hey, we're thinking about going to the SEC, and Oklahoma's...
Oh, crap.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's nothing left of the Big 12. If they go, we have to go too.
And yes, by all accounts, from everything I've read, it was Texas that started this.
Yeah, and so Oklahoma kind of has its hand forced because you have to land on your feet, and being the only good team in the Big 12.
Boardwalk just left your Park Place.
Yeah, you can't.
You got to go. Oh, and by the way, let me just say that one more time. I know we talked about it last segment, but some of the numbers being thrown around for the SEC's new TV deal, if they renegotiate with Texas and Oklahoma, $70, $75, $80 million a year per school. That is a good, that is a bigger athletic budget than like Washington State and Oregon State roll out just with your tier one TV rights. So why would someone want to go? Well, let's say, just for argument's sake, let's go high end and say $80 million. Yeah, I think that's going to get some people to wake up and move. And Texas, okay. The weird thing is Texas made more money than any school last year. Texas athletically made $223 million, and it's still not enough. So if you want to say that one school is being a greedy ass bitch in all this, it's Texas, because they made more than anyone else, and they still said it's not good enough. Even though we're not very good, we want to go for more in the SEC.
Here's a text. Regardless of what you think about BYU, it's a little disingenuous to talk about justice or morality when you consider that non-church schools like Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and USC have been elbow deep in sexual abuse scandals. BYU is one of the very few programs in the nation that truly care about more than just winning and money, even if you disagree with some of their viewpoints. That's a great point.
It is. I've said this many times. There are plenty of things about BYU that I do not like. I am proud to be an alumni there, proud to have gotten my degree. We were required to go to classes. We didn't pay kids. Believe it or not, that school did try to do the best job they could. They kicked out players for their own honor code. They went and found those, and some of those guys were our best players. You can think the honor code's stupid. I tend to think that, but they enforce it. So from that standpoint, I couldn't agree with that more. But as Rittenberg said, in today's culture, the fact that you didn't allow African-Americans to hold the priesthood until basically 1980, I think it was 1978, 1979. The fact that you can't be a practicing homosexual and be a member of the church. It's going to be a killer.
Okay. Two other things here. Rittenberg brought up something and he kind of glossed over it, but it's the first I've heard anyone say it. He was saying that there could be a tier system.
Mm-hmm.
And it could end up looking like just a giant SEC and a giant Big Ten, and that's it.
Yep.
And then tier two would be all these other schools that are fighting for survival. But tier one, he put Oregon in the tier one, so maybe it is just two conferences. Now, the other thing there would be...
They talked about pods.
Yeah, pods. The other thing would be that the Big 12 is looking at the Pac-12 and saying, hey, maybe we join all of our teams.
20.
And it's a 20-team Super League, in which case you would be... I don't know about tiers, but that would be similar to what the Big Ten and the SEC would grow into.
Would the Pac-12
so have three of those?
I would have to see, one, all those schools the Pac-12 isn't going to be thrilled about. Two, I think there's probably a line of diminishing returns there The only way 20 makes sense if you had some massive TV deal, but I can't imagine that adding what you'd eight, right? Adding eight would bring you much more money than adding four or five, and then you're just having to split the pie more ways. So the 20 team thing, I think that is a Hail Mary on the part of those eight schools left behind.
Yeah.
I don't think that's realistic. I think, you know, three, four, five may be realistic. But yeah, the super conferences, just like a pod system where, you know, you end up in pods of four or eight, and then you just rotate around every couple of years. There is some sort of new landscape that's going to be formed here. What it looks like, we'll have to wait and see, because, you know, the ACC may try to poach. The Big Ten may try to poach. You know, Notre Dame, USC's talked about leaving the Pac-12 before about going independent. Would they be interested in joining some sort of you know, super conference outside of the Pac-12? We just don't know how any of this is going to be structured. We just know that within a matter of days, the first domino, it could be shoved over. And then once that happens, there's no way to know until the dust settles.
I know, but okay, so put yourself in Pac-12, in the Pac-12 shoes. Don't you need to be proactive? Or or do you sit and wait and see what happens? Because I feel like the longer you sit and wait, the worse it's going to get for you.
You got to be proactive.
Okay, so what does that mean? If you're the Pac-12, what does that mean?
We can talk. Well, I know we got a break, but when we come back, I think there is a handful of things that you at least have to explore, and I would be stunned if they're not doing it right now.
Okay, well, one more segment on this, and then we've got hot Guardians talk.
Yeah.
The Guardians are coming.
No longer of the Galaxy, which is kind of a downgrade if you think about it.
Yeah, just Cleveland.
Yeah, you went from the Galaxy to Cleveland?
The time is 4:05 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.